So, today, I thought I'd talk to you about something that, back in 2010, I discovered was really, really dangerous. It's a poison. You have to be very careful with it. But it's in so much food these days, and we consume so much of it, if we're not careful, that we could be doing ourselves a heck of a lot of harm. And that stuff is aspartame. Back in 2010, I started looking into aspartame and what it is and where it came from and why it was so dangerous. Now, there's a patent that confirms that aspartame is the excrement of genetically modified bacteria. Yeah, that's right. Back in 1999, The Independent published an article entitled "World's Top Sweetener is Made by GM Bacteria," which revealed that Monsanto was knowingly adding aspartame to soft drinks in the United States and all over the world, and that aspartame is made from genetically modified bacteria. This report, which remains one of the earliest disclosures on aspartame in a mainstream newspaper, received little attention after its publication, possibly because its implications were underestimated at the time and has long been forgotten. Since 1999, the world has become a little more attentive to Monsanto and aspartame, but ignorance still abounds about the latter's genesis. While more and more people are starting to awaken to aspartame's destructive effects on our health, do they know how it's actually made? Fortunately, in 1981, patent for aspartame production, once confined to the drawers of patent officers, is now available online for everyone to see. And it confirms everything that Monsanto was happy to tell us in 1999 before their meteoric growth necessitated greater prudence. So, what is that production process? The patent, which is entitled Process for Producing Aspartame and is credited to Ball, Rose and White, summarizes the process as follows. Quote, "The artificial sweetener aspartame, a dipeptide with the formula ASPPHEME, is produced using a cloned microorganism. A DNA which codes for larger stable peptide comprised of the repeating amino acid sequence ASPPHE is inserted into a cloned vehicle, which in turn is introduced into suitable host microorganism. The host microorganism is cultured, and the large peptide containing the repeated ASPPHE sequence is harvested therefrom. The free carboxyl group of the large peptide is benzylated and then hydrolyzed to benzyl ASPPHE dipeptides. This dipeptide is methylated and then debenzylated to form aspartame." This scientific jargon obfuscates, perhaps deliberately, a truly disturbing process. 1. Cloned microorganisms, which the patent later reveals to be genetically modified E. coli, are cultivated in tanks whose environments are tailored to help them thrive. 2. The well-fed E. coli cultures defecate the proteins that contain the aspartic acid, phenylalanine amino acid segment needed to make aspartame. 3. The proteins containing the ASPPHE segments are harvested, i.e. lab assistants collect the bacteria feces. 4. The feces are then treated. This includes a process of methylation, adding an excess of the toxic alcohol methanol to the protected dipeptide. While common sense dictates that this abomination doesn't belong anywhere near our bodies, the patent's authors made no secret that their belief that aspartame constitutes a safe and nutritious sweetener. Quote, aspartame is not only sweeter than sucrose, but is preferable as a food to sucrose. While sucrose can provide the body with little more than energy, aspartame is composed of amino acids, the building blocks of body proteins, and like other proteins, is broken down by the digestive enzymes in the stomach, so its constituent amino acids thus providing nutritive value. For these reasons, aspartame holds significant promise in replacing sugar as a sweetener. So there we have it, an official document that not only reveals the shocking truth behind aspartame production, but also freely admits that it was intended for mass consumption as a sucrose substitute. Therefore, the next time someone claims that your reservations about this sweetener are unfounded, direct them to this patent. The truth behind aspartame is now in plain view. Now, it's been hidden again because aspartame's name changed to aminosweet. A toxin by another name is still a toxin. It's a dangerous artificial sweetener found in many of the foods we consume every day, including soft drinks, chewing gum, breakfast cereals, and jams. Now, it's important to know that aspartame may be disguised as a new name in your favourite foods, aminosweet. Used as a sugar substitute and often marketed as NutraSweet and Equal, aspartame as an excitotoxin that destroys the brain and body, its use has been a controversial subject since the 1980s, when the CEO of Searle, Donald Rumsfeld, yes, the very same, pushed for its approval to be sold on the market. Now its name has been changed, with FDA approval, to try to dupe millions into purchasing and consuming this toxin once again. Aspartame, even renamed aminosweet, is not safe. This substance is made using genetically modified bacteria in the United States. But according to a Monsanto source, the UK market does not have to eat genetically modified bacteria excrement. Many low-calorie foods contain GMO aspartame. However, aspartame may cause blindness, cancer, and brain tumours. Just a reminder of who is pushing this excrement, quite literally, on the consumers of the United States, the UK, and across the world. It was Mr. Rumsfeld, who went on to become George W. Bush's Secretary of Defense and crony capitalist agenda pusher. This one substance has continually been shown to cause harm to human health, so why is the FDA renaming it instead of banning it completely from the food supply? There is considerable evidence that artificial sweeteners cause cancer, including aspartame specifically, so why not name it something more appropriate at least? Sickeningly sweet might be more appropriate. Even saccharin eventually had to be made with a label mandated by Congress that says, quote, "Use of this product may be hazardous to your health. This product contains saccharin, which has been determined to cause cancer in laboratory animals," end quote. The FDA's own toxicologist, Dr. Adrian Gross, told Congress that, without a shadow of a doubt, aspartame can cause brain tumours and brain cancer, and that it violated the Delaney Amendment. Aside from cancers and tumours, top researchers have linked aspartame with the following symptoms and diseases: headaches, memory loss, seizures, vision loss, coma, ADD, lupus, fibromyalgia, muscular dystrophy, Alzheimer's, chronic fatigue, diabetes, depression. European scientists have been telling us about the dangers of aspartame since 2005, so why on earth is it still allowed in our food? Partly because a politically biased FDA and other government health departments, then swayed by Rumsfeld's corporation, said that the European Food Safety Authority, the EFSA's decision about aspartame, was, quote, "not conclusive enough to prove that it was a dangerous substance and that there was no further review on an earlier scientific opinion on the safety of aspartame or reason to revise the acceptable daily intake." The problem, and what more research concluded, is that aspartame breaks down into something called phenylalanine. Amongst other things, this can cause a disorder known as phenylketonuria. I'll spell that for you. Phenylketonuria. Quote, 1 in 15,000 people in the world has a genetic disorder called phenylketonuria. This body can't metabolize synthesized phenylalanine, and it builds up in the body. It causes all sorts of bad things to happen, such as mental retardation, seizures, and other brain damage. People suffering from phenylketonuria, or PKU, are called phenylketonurics. They need to constantly monitor their protein intake. They are also warned about consumption of products containing aspartame, hence the warning on labels. Phenylketonurics contains phenylalanine. Not only that, but aspartame is also chemically addictive to the body, even though it damages it profoundly, just like other drugs. This is why food makers want to put it in their products, so you will buy more of them. Aspartame or amino sweet, it's all the same toxic substance. Watch out for it on food labels. Eat honey, apple sauce, raw non-GMO sugar and other real food sweeteners instead. Now it just so happens, I interviewed somebody who suffered from all of the symptoms that were caused by aspartame. And this is what he had to say.
I've come to a party. Been chatting with some new people, and one of the conversations was about health, food, and particularly aspartame. And when the word aspartame was mentioned, a gentleman who wants to remain anonymous for now, but a gentleman who has had some experience with aspartame has come and spoke to me. You've got an interesting story. Tell us about aspartame and how it's affected you.
Okay, there was a time when, I know it's not very wise, but I was probably having 5 cans of Diet Coke a day.
Wow.
And being Diet Coke, of course, you think that it's going to be more healthy rather than putting lots of sugar into your system. And I was sitting on the train and suddenly I started getting heart palpitations and my head was absolutely pounding. I went bright red. And I was really quite frightened, thought my chest was going to explode, and I thought I was having a heart attack. But it died down, but I thought this was something I couldn't ignore, and I went to the doctor. And he said to me, have you any other symptoms? Yes, I said, I've been getting headaches, lethargy, pains in my joints and in my forearms. And he sent me for some tests. And shortly afterwards, the results came back, and he rang me up, and he said, the results have come back. They didn't find anything. And it was obvious from his tone that the subtext was, you're a hypochondriac, you've been wasting our time, they found nothing wrong with you at all. And then shortly afterwards, I bought a copy of Nexus magazine, which is a great fun magazine. It's got the kind of articles which people would say loony, you know, almost like World War bomber found on the moon type stuff. But I've long had a suspicion that Nexus could be a kind of Trojan horse where in between, mixed in with all these crazy articles, you'll get articles written by people who are very, very high-powered, string of qualifications after their name, and they will publish papers which they can't get out into the public domain any other way because they might be controversial or commercially embarrassing. And one of the articles was about the hidden dangers of aspartame. And I read the list of symptoms, and to my amazement, it was just absolute carbon copy of what I'd been experiencing. So I chopped out all Diet Coke, stopped all aspartame, and it was like waving a magic wand. I have not had any of those symptoms since. So when people say to me, oh, aspartame, they've done research into it, there's nothing wrong, I know from personal experience that I had all these symptoms, They couldn't find anything else wrong, and when I cut the aspartame out, the symptoms stopped. Make of that what you will.
So, what kind of time period are we talking about? How long is it since you last had Diet Coke?
Oh, goodness, I haven't had Diet Coke for at least 10, 15 years now because of that.
Right. So, I mean, I only found out about the dangers of aspartame very, very recently. So, obviously, this is something that's been around for a long time. It's been out in the public domain.
Apparently, it's banned in certain countries.
Why is it still in our food?
Probably because it's a darn sight cheaper than sugar. And it's one of those things that is just commercially expedient. Mm.
So if you've been drinking, what, 5 cans of Diet Coke a day, did you replace that with something else? Did you cut it out altogether, just went cold turkey?
I cut it out completely. I went for ordinary sugary drinks, if I were going to have anything. I'm actually diabetic, so now I've cut out absolutely everything. There's a lot to be said for doing so.
Because you're actually a very fit person as well, aren't you?
Yes, because when I went for tests, they hooked me up to an ECG, and they said I'd got the heart of an athlete. Well, I didn't pass my driving test until I was 40, so I was very, very used to walking everywhere. So, yes, I mean the kind of readings they were getting were not the kind of readings you'd expect from someone that was getting heart palpitations.
So now, with your diabetes, how are you controlling that? How are you managing that?
I was on glycoside for a while. And then my girlfriend introduced me to a book by a chap called Dr. Robert Cousins called Reversing Diabetes in 30 Days. And that's a bit of a misnomer, because I think if you've got diabetes, you've got diabetes. There isn't a cure as such, but what you can do with very, very careful diet is you can arrest the symptoms, and if you continue with that diet, evidence seems to point to the fact that the diabetes doesn't get any worse.
So you're not injecting yourself every day anymore?
No, I went on a very, very strict vegan diet. No meat, fish, eggs, dairy. And after 30 days, I came off the medication. And I had blood tests, and they said, yes, yeah, it's working. You don't need the medication anymore.
That's amazing. Yeah. Because there's a member of my family on my wife's side who is diabetic and refuses to change diet and is injecting every day and doing blood tests and all that kind of stuff every day, and just trying to speak to this person and just let them know that with a change of diet, with a change of mindset with regards to nutrition, you can manage the diabetes.
Certainly, that's what I've read. I mean, there's a lot of debate about it, and I think that you can overstate the efficacy of these things. But there is a DVD that I bought about, I think it was 8 people went to a place in Arizona, and they went on one of these crash vegan diets, and there was even a guy who smelt burning one day, looked down and found it was his foot was on fire, and he didn't know. And after the month, he was walking up a mountain, and 7 years later, apparently, he was still off the medication. So there are amazing things that can be done, but I still think cure is a bit naughty, a word to use. To me, a cure would be where you could go back to eating whatever you were eating before, with impunity. But in actual fact, I've tended to regard it almost as a gift, because it was my wake-up call. And now, if I were to have a cup of tea and I were to put teaspoonful of sugar in, it would taste to me now the way a cup of tea with 3 teaspoons right. would have done. And there's no doubt that if you cut out the sugar and you go on one of these radical diets, then remarkably quickly your taste does change, and a lot of sugary things are actually quite unpleasant and even repulsive to you.
So the party's carrying on around us. I want to thank you very much for your story. That's brilliant.
My pleasure.
There you have it. One man's experience of aspartame. He even admitted himself that he'd been drinking quite a lot of it. But even small amounts can be dangerous. I just want to finish off with one more article. Top children's vitamins full of aspartame, GMOs and harmful chemicals. This is from collectiveevolution.com. How often are parents aware of the ingredients contained in the multivitamin that they feed their children? We often believe what we hear without ever questioning what mass marketing and media has to say about a product. In this case, they've led thousands of parents to purchase multivitamins because they believe it has significant nutritional value. But do these vitamins truly provide nutritional benefit? If so, at what cost? If we look at this particular brand of Flintstones vitamins, one of the top multivitamins in the United States, it contains a number of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, aspartame, aluminium, petroleum-derived artificial colours, and more. All of these ingredients are not optimal for health and can be very toxic. Let's take a closer look at some of these ingredients. Starting off with our old friend, aspartame. Aspartame is known to damage the brain at any dose by leaving traces of methanol in the blood. It makes you wonder why aspartame has been approved as safe and is found in thousands of food products, not to mention children's vitamins. It's also linked to lymphoma and leukemia. It's basically a synthetic combination of the amino acids aspartic acid and I-phenylalanine. It's known to convert into toxic methanol and formaldehyde in the body. Hopefully, this motivates you to further your research. Sorbitol. Sorbitol is a synthetic sugar substitute, which is classified as a sugar alcohol. The ingestion of higher amounts have been linked to gastrointestinal disturbances, from abdominal pain to more serious conditions such as irritable bowel syndrome. Hydrogenated soybean oil. Anything marketed to children that contains hydrogenated soybean oil is irresponsible. They are semi-synthetic fatty acids that incorporate themselves into our tissues. They've been linked to dozens of harmful effects, from coronary artery disease to cancer and fatty liver disease. Ferrous fumarate. This is quite remarkable that ferrous fumarate is an ingredient here. There is a clear warning on the Flintstones website concerning this chemical. It's used as an iron supplement. When consuming iron, that comes naturally in food. It's impossible to inject toxic amounts that can cause death. But when taking ferrous fumarate, fatal levels of toxicity can be reached. Accidental overdose of iron-containing products is a leading cause of fatal poisoning in children under 6. Keep this product out of reach of children. In case of accidental overdose, call a doctor or poison control centre immediately. And that's from their own website. According to the European Union's Dangerous Substance Directive, cupric oxide is listed as a hazardous substance. It's classified as both harmful and dangerous to the environment. It's used as a pigment in ceramics and is a chemical in the production of rayon fabric and dry cell batteries. It is indeed a mineral, but should this really be in a nutrient in a children's vitamin? Let's have a look at a brief summary of Bayer Pharmaceuticals. And if you want to know more about their history, you'll have to have a listen to another series that I'm doing, the Nazi roots of the Brussels EU, because they were involved in that. Most pharmaceutical companies like Bayer, the developer of the Flintstones vitamins, do not have the best track record. Bayer is a German chemical and pharmaceutical company founded in 1863. In 1925, it became part of IG Farben, a German chemical industry conglomerate. This chemical company had board members who were responsible for the creation of the Federal Reserve, like Paul Warburg, who sat on the board of the Federal Reserve, as well as IG Farben. It was a corporation well connected with the Rockefellers and the second largest shareholder in Standard Oil. The investment was part of a pattern of reciprocal investments between the US and Germany during the Nazi years. It's well known that IG Farben was closely connected with the Nazis. They held the patent for the pesticide Zyklon B, the chemical used in the gas chambers. Some of IG Farben's directors were accused as war criminals, whilst others continued on with the agenda we see taking form today. We can see a conflict of interest through the company's shareholders when it comes to the creation of pharmaceutical products. It's time for us to examine what we choose to feed our children. All it takes is a little investigation and stepping into our own awareness of what is going on around us. Many of us live a robotic lifestyle. We're all here doing the same thing. We've been programmed to grow up, work, and spend most of our hours doing just that. While we participate in a 9-to-5, eat, sleep, watch TV, participate in a number of activities for entertainment purposes type of reality, there are those working behind the scenes, manipulating the consciousness of the human race. All we have to do is notice. After that, we can begin making better choices in our own lives. The world is indeed waking up. Something new is desired. The current Earth paradigm is one many people don't resonate with anymore. A lot of us feel it's time to move on, grow, and explore our infinite potentiality. I could not agree more. Take the time to find out more about what you're feeding yourself, your family, and what's going on around you.